Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Sky's Revival Radio. We're glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky family. Before we start our lesson today, I want to encourage anyone who would like to schedule a Sky family concert at your church or at your community gathering or your outdoor event, please give us a call at 508-887-1051. That number again is 508-887-1051. Or if you would like to schedule revival meetings, we are glad to be a part of what you're doing. We travel extensively. It doesn't matter where you live. We'll probably be able to work you into the schedule. So give us a call or go to our website. Just Google the Sky family, and the email address, tourmanager@theskies.org, will be on there. You can contact us by email. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you. Today, we're going to take a look at the parable of the unjust steward found in Matthew chapter 18, starting on verse 23. Jesus says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay it, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children, and all that he had, and repayment be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So this fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then, summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?' And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." This is a story about unforgiveness, and every one of us battles with unforgiveness. Why? Because everyone has been hurt by someone or by many people. And that hurt brings with it unforgiveness as we remember the pain over and over again. Someone says, "I can forgive, but I can't forget." Well, that's the same as "I can't forgive." We all struggle with it, and God has made it to be of extreme importance. We must forgive. He says that our eternal standing with God is dependent on it. He says in Matthew 18:35, "So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Jesus is referring to the punishment awaiting those who hold bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. Whatever measure we use toward others will be used toward us. The degree that we have forgiveness toward others is the exact degree of forgiveness that God will have toward us. Now, as we go over the story of the unjust steward, there's some very important insights. First, the slave who is forgiven by the master is us. Jesus is addressing us. We are that slave. We are the one who owes the master millions of dollars, an astronomical sum. It says 10,000 talents. A talent of gold was millions of dollars. So 10,000 times that is how much that slave owed his master. And again, that slave is us. The Lord is saying we are so indebted to God that we could never, ever repay it. And so we entreat the Lord and he forgives us. So far, so good. Now, let's go to church where we call people everywhere to receive forgiveness for all their debt. The message from the pulpit is, whatever your sins are, come to the altar. The Master will forgive you. The Master has forgiven me. All my debt has been forgiven, and he will forgive you also. And we energetically call people to come to the Lord. The Lord will forgive everything. We are very generous in extending the Master's mercy to all of our fellow servants. And things are going very well up to this point. Now enter the second part of the parable, where the steward goes out, the one who has been forgiven, and finds someone who owes him. And how much does he owe him? 100 denarii. Now, 100 denarii was practically nothing. And it was certainly nothing compared to the 10,000 talents that he himself owed. So the fellow servant owed him a very little bit. Now, we'll go to the church. And let's say that one of the nice-looking church members does something to hurt another member. Suppose that member happens to be you. Say someone says something critical about you or spreads an untrue story. Suddenly, all hell breaks loose. You are up in arms. You are righteously indignant. You're offended. They have unjustly wronged you. Now multiply this by all who are in the church. This one is squabbling with that one. This one is talking bad about another. If you go into any church and look past the nice-looking appearance, you'll find all kinds of petty backbiting, infighting, and power struggles. The power struggles in a worship team should be documented. There's nothing quite like it. Everyone is vying for mic time. It's a show. It's all about being recognized for your special gifts. It's like a talent competition. It's worship idol. When someone comes to church with a weight of sin, we bring them to the altar, and that's good. But if the sin happens to be against us, heaven help the person who offended us or wounded us. We're quick to bring God's forgiveness to them if they have offended God. But when it comes to us being offended, we are not quite so generous, are we? We're like a Christmas ornament, a gold Christmas ornament. Give us a scratch and the gold comes right off. There's no gold, just a thin hollow shell that's painted gold. And that's what so many of us are like. We're all like that to some degree. If someone scratches us, what is underneath? So the test to find out what we're made of is to scratch us. We might look good on the outside, but how does God know if we're really gold or just gold paint? How do you find out if a table is solid wood or a veneer? Well, you just scratch it. And then you know right off what it's made of. And so that's what God does. He allows us to be scratched. He allows us to be offended. He allows us to be wounded so we can find out what we're made of. Are we a nicely painted ornament? Or are we made of gold? It all comes down to being scratched to find out what's underneath. Normally, when someone scratches us or offends us, we react and figuratively or literally choke the person, just as it says in this parable. And we really do this. We lash out. We begin to choke them. We do whatever we can to hurt them back. We lash out with our words, our slander, our outrage, and in defending ourselves, we want to hurt them. In the story of the unrighteous steward, he threw the man into prison until he could pay. We might not throw someone into prison literally. Instead, we put him into a virtual prison by giving them the silent treatment. That's how we imprison people who hurt us today. This is so common. Family members won't talk to each other for years. Everyone is susceptible to this. We all do things to fight back, whether overtly or subtly. But when we do, watch out. As soon as we begin to choke our fellow slave because they did something hurtful to us, beware. We need to be afraid. It is so easy to do. It doesn't even have to be a real offense that causes the reaction in us. It could just be something we have perceived as an offense. We read all kinds of offense into everything. As soon as we have a lashback mentality, that is when we're in great danger. We need to be afraid because Jesus' words are the words we will be judged against. There is no wiggle room. If we don't forgive those who offend us, neither will he forgive us. So when we are dealing with an offense, we must be very careful not to fall into a retaliation mindset. We need to be very careful. If we do retaliate, we must cast ourselves before God and repent. But notice the wording. He says, so will your father do to you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. He means forgiving in truth, not just in words. It means really and truly forgiving them, letting it go completely on the inside. It must be from the heart. Now that puts us into a quandary. It's very hard to actually forgive from the heart. It's almost impossible. And this is where the power of prayer comes in. We must begin to pray for the one who offended us. That's what the Lord said. He said, pray for those who persecute you. And as you begin to pray for the one who has wounded you or has hurt you so deeply, we'll begin to see God's holy power at work. For it's impossible to be bitter towards someone when we are earnestly praying for them. It is miraculous. So praying for the person who has wounded you will heal your heart. It will enable you to begin to forgive from the heart, which is absolutely critical to your right standing with God. And at first, it may be just words as you're praying. It may be just words and you may not feel it. But if you persist, it will start to become real. And then if you pray for love, God will do an amazing work and the love will start to become real. He'll give you some insight into the other person's life, which will help you to understand where they're coming from. He will give you maybe a compassion for them or a pity for them. And this is so important. It's not optional. It's not just a nice teaching. It's mandatory. Everyone who wants to be forgiven must themselves also forgive. This is a true Christ-like quality. Jesus has an amazing meekness, gentleness, mildness, and he doesn't retaliate. And that means we can be offended and not retaliate. And then Jesus will start to shine in our faces. Let's go to the Lord in prayer with this very important area that affects us all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, Lord, because many people have wounded us and we have great resentments and bitterness and hurt, and it's very hard to let it go. But we see from your words here in Matthew 18 that we must let it go. And so we pray for a miracle. We pray for the one who has hurt us. We pray for the ones who have wounded us. We ask, O Lord, that you would fill us with the ability to love them in return. You said that we are blessed if we return good for evil. And so, Lord, please do a supernatural work in us that we might react as Jesus does with love and kindness toward those who hurt us. Lord, may we be Christians indeed. May we not be gold-painted ornaments. Let us be solid gold, Lord. Help us to be truly your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.